Oh my God, we have made it to the other side. Well, yeah. I did a solo show last week because parts unknown were disappeared into the...
I wasn't parts unknown.
You're a super parts unknown. So now Dr. Morbius from Parts Unknown has returned from the Netherlands, the hurricane-soaked world of hatred.
God, what a pain.
Wow. Yes, we have both. My name's Mao. This is Dr. Morbius. And this is...
Asian Cult Cinema.
Asian Cult Cinema, show 70. Yes.
In the series of 70s.
Yeah, 70s is right. Boy.
Yeah, this movie is from the 70s.
It's almost like your world is before Irma and after Irma. The emotional toll of what Irma did, even though it didn't even do that very much to us. It's insane. You went through
crazy time. I went through evacuation into like Netherworld, and it was crazy.
For those of you who don't know, outside of the Tampa Bay, it's kind of like the South a little bit more.
Tampa Bay's kind of like the South, too.
Take that for what you will. It's like
Yeah, I mean, you know, I went to some interesting... Let's just say I stayed in some... I was like, it's me and my mom and some of my friends stayed in some interesting location.
Rustic, one might say.
One of them was scummy.
Condemnable.
One of them was condemnable. Yeah, it was definitely like you could drop a bomb on it and the country and the world would be better placed. The rest of them were okay. But it was just an interesting trip driving around and what for this whole storm was like nobody knew where it was going to go. It was here, it's going here, it's going there. No, it was just a mess.
It was like a cluster.
Because it did the whole state. You know, when you get a hurricane, it usually does an area.
It hit Miami it hit Tampa. It hit
everybody.
Panhandle. Yeah, this hit all of America.
You couldn't evacuate anywhere. The hotel, everybody took a hotel room. You couldn't get on the highway because everybody was evacuating at the same time.
I heard it was a parking lot.
When I left on Saturday, it wasn't a parking lot till I got to Ocala. And then it became a parking lot, but luckily that was my exit, so I got off there.
Yeah, because there's some people where I work that were like, we evacuated and just sat. There was cars strewn about that had run out of gas because there's no gas anywhere. Florida went crazy. There was no water or gas to be found. Yeah. You could buy a gold bar cheaper than gas. You know,
it's
insanity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now everybody's figured out that there's only like 2-3 roads you can evacuate from Florida. 75, I-95, and then some little country roads or whatever.
Yeah, good
it's
luck
like,
with that.
You're stuck here. Basically, you know what I mean? It's like they haven't figured it out yet, you know?
Leaving didn't even cross my mind. I honestly just put up boards and I was like, we didn't even have boards. My neighbor down the street gave me 2 pieces of plywood because he bought up like 10 pieces or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
And you just put the front window or something?
I just put them on the windows, but I mean, like, literally, I had zero preparation. I was like, I'm not going anywhere. I don't care. I had a good run. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it doesn't matter to me.
You don't have that many windows in front of your house anyway.
No,
just a couple.
No.
You know?
But we did the sides and everything. You know, we did all the windows.
Able to do all the windows?
Yeah.
Wow.
The studio here, our illustrious studio, had like, you know that like that corrugated metal that they build shacks in with like in the Caribbean or whatever?
Yeah.
It had one of those going across it to keep stuff.
I couldn't even do that. I mean, when you took the plywood, did you hammer it into the wall or you drill it?
No, like back in 2004, I put these studs in that have the screws and wing nuts.
Ah.
So literally, I just drilled holes and hung it, you know, and
So it wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't too bad. I did think I'm going to go up and buy, like, now that we're all recovered a little bit, I'm probably going to go up and buy that, like, lighter plywood and put, and do it better and make sure every window has some plywood, but I don't know, you know.
Yeah, it was, you know, still fortunately the house that I live in, the woman who lived in it before didn't put anything up, you know what I mean? There was no, like,
nothing. Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so we stayed there with no windows covered or anything like that. There was already one window that was cracked, and it stayed cracked, you know, I was like,
it didn't fix itself, but didn't crack itself any worse.
No,
huh?
Exactly. So, but yeah, just driving around trying to evacuate, even though we didn't have to evacuate because we were in a non-evacuation zone, was a strange trip. But hey, you know what? I mean, I appreciate, you know, Joust and all the folks that, you know, helped us out.
Oh, yeah.
So.
You know what? I'll tell you what, our neighbors helped us a lot. You know, one side had a generator, and they let us put some of the meat in the freezer. Because you know that's the thing. We lost everything in the fridge and freezer.
Yeah,
that's
we did too. Yeah.
All gone. You know, you're just bye. And then you know, and then the neighbor down the street. He was, are you doing all right? You know, he gave us pieces of wood. You know, for the windows, like I said. So it was kind of cool. You know,
none of our neighbors gave us anything, but Joust helped out because he's my buddy. But none of the neighbors around me did anything except like you know, there's a bunch of. What I can't say the word.
Can't curse on here.
They're jerks.
Yeah, that's good enough. We got
I'm glad
it.
Glad I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so, but it was a mess.
It was a mess. You know, I don't know. I think we were like in 2004. We got hit like almost hit like four times. You know, but nothing ever like just wind and rain and all that crap. And so it never like really set in that we needed.
Actually, I wasn't here in 2004. Did the power go out all the times or no?
I had an exchange student live with me, first one. We were like out. We went up on the roof one time during a hurricane. We were out in the water, and running around in the rain, because it was just like a turn like that heavy rain and winds. But who cares? It wasn't.
Yeah, I know.
2004 was a different time, man.
Really, this place got hit by four storms in 2004.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and
they didn't hit directly. They were
no.
Nearby.
That's the thing. It was like the bands were hitting us, or you know. It was always the worry, but never hit it. You know, one went through the middle, one went. I just didn't. I don't know. You know, you get tired though. It's like ugh.
Yeah, I gotta. Yeah, anyway.
Florida wears you out a little bit.
Yeah.
I like it, but you know.
The problem is, there's so many people moving here.
I know.
That's what causes the clusters.
I think I'm. Yeah, and that was one of the things I was like, come on, man, they're having all this trouble with this electrical stuff. I can on a map within a 1 mile radius of my house show anyone they want to see like five or six mega apartments that are going up. We're talking about like those ten, like those thousand, thousand units. How's that getting powered, man? We couldn't get powered on after a storm that was basically a windstorm with some rain.
Pretty much.
Who's powering that crap? What, are we going to have a nuclear power plant somewhere put in there? I was like, oh, I don't like that, you know?
Yeah, no, it's like they're good. They're putting in more people, more traffic, more cluster, and only two main roads to get out of here. That's because, whatever.
That's why I keep, more and more we're leaning towards going the other way and leaving, you know? So, but that's actually becoming a reality where we're talking pretty seriously about it. We'll see. Obviously, that would take a year or two to do, but, yeah. Think about going up north where it's cold. Sometimes.
Where you came from?
No.
No.
Like Wisconsin or something like
you're
that.
You're talking
like,
about in the Midwest?
The frozen
that's beyond cold.
Tundra.
That's beyond cold.
Yup.
That's like, you know.
The frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
Yeah, that's
anyway.
Little, that's a little too.
We thought we would start the show with just a little bit of venting and talking about it because it was something that was pretty traumatic.
Because I got my chance this week to do it. You did it last week.
I did it last week, yeah. So, okay, now we're going to take a break. And then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about Asian cult cinema.
Wow.
We did two different movies. We did one for this week, and then we did next week's, because you never know with the flighty schedule. And each had its own, I don't know. We'll talk about it after the break. One was nonstop fighting, and one was nonstop nothing. It was kind of weird.
Pretty much.
All right, but we'll be right back. Here's a Chinese gong, and then we'll be back to talk.
This is a tasty burger.
Ghetto Freaks explodes on the screen with excitement never before shown in a motion picture. Ghetto Freaks exposes the sensuous facts of taking over a white commune and turning the white chicks into soul sisters.
Help me! I said no. She's my lady. Nobody touches her.
What's the matter, man? You knew the rules when you joined this family. And the rules were real fine when you didn't have a chick of your own. And you took your share real good. Now your little pink leg is going to obey the rules, and you're going to watch.
Ghetto Freaks is a motion picture that will make every part of you react with a new feeling. Groupies, long hairs, freaks, all living in one soul family and doing the bidding of a black leader. Nothing could stop these freaks from performing their weird initiation rituals night after night. Every new white convert wore an afro and obeyed the rules of the leader, and he showed them how to get their kicks where their cracker lovers left off. Ghetto Freaks is a film you can't afford to miss. Ghetto Freaks.
There's two ways you can go on this job. My way or the highway.
All right. We are back and we're ready to rock and roll. What are we talking about this week?
The Hong Kong Cat. Corrado.
Corrado. The Hong Kong Cat.
1973,
and this is one of those. Well, first of all, we'll talk about a little bit about the dubbing. The dubbing was like two dudes doing it, and maybe a girl, and they just made the mistake of they did their lines and they tried to match them up to the people talking, so somebody would talk like this.
Oh yeah,
and they broke up their sentences for no reason, and you're like, look, man. We don't care how the lips are moving. Just talk. Just say your lines. And then halfway through, it's like, you don't have two friends that could have showed up and just voiced.
Just a neighbor?
Somebody. And they had this every line in this movie. This dubbing bothered me. Every line was like,
yeah, I remember.
They
that.
Had this weird cackly, and they ended every sentence with it. Didn't matter what was going on. You're like, look. Who did this? Like, it made those Australian places look like great.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And those are not great. It's just so there was that little annoyance.
Oh god! And then there was like, my favorite. It was my favorite thing. We were talking about in the break was like Bolo playing like a Mexican or something.
But, so I had to like look it up on IMDb because. All you see is a giant pair of breasts, and you're like, wow, is this nudity? No, it's
Bolo getting massaged. It's Bolo getting
massaged. And he sits up, and you're like, what am I looking at? He has a Cheech Marin mustache.
Yeah, he's got a wig.
And he has his wig, and I was like, is that, that's Bolo? Because there's only one Chinese dude that's that big. I don't care what anyone says. And I was like, I looked at it, I was like, that's Bolo Young. And I was like, I was waiting for that. Bolo showed up, like, probably he showed up drunk. And he was like, no, I got an idea for my character.
And that's
He pulls out a Cheech Marin's mustache and Pai Mei's wig, except it's black instead of white. And then he goes, well, here we go. And you're like, wow.
Oh,
it was crazy. And this is one of those movies. I don't know if I talked about it on or off or just before the break. This is basically like a porn. You know how porn's just kind of not new ones, older ones. They kind of waltz around. There's not any real kind of reason. It's just, oh, hey, look, a
let's
sink.
Fight.
Sex. Well, this was just nonstop like, hey, you, let's fight. Hey, you're a spy. Let's fight. Hey, you're my brother. Let's fight. You're like, wow.
I think the last 20 minutes of this movie was a fight.
More than 20. This was like the last notes in my little book that I take notes in said, end. Please just end. I was like, after 36 minutes or so, I'm done watching people fight. That's longer than a Gilligan's Island episode. You can stop fighting. I don't care anymore. I don't care if both of you die.
Not,
you know,
not to mention that, and I was talking to my friend about it. He made the point that this is movies from 73. So even though Bruce Lee was doing movies, a lot of these movies didn't have the choreography yet that they would have a few years later.
No.
So it was just basically standard fighting, you know? And it was like, after a while, it was like, okay, here's another fight. Okay, here's another fight. And I was telling him, you know, these movies, I watched a bunch of these martial arts movies, and it's like, if you're not really into the fighting, I mean, yeah, obviously you're not looking to these movies to get, like, a great storyline, but if
some
if
of
it's
them
just
have great stories, though,
some of them
have
cool stories, but if it's just about standard, boring fights. This thing's gonna drag.
There's no reason to watch it, and that's what this one was weird in that it was. You could tell the extras weren't martial artists. Now I get it that most of the martial arts extras aren't martial artists, but they're all like from the acrobat schools and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where this is just a bunch of people showed up and they're like, and they were pretending to fight. It's the same as the one we're doing next week. There's no real like now probably. Bolo showed off more than I thought he could do. In this movie here, he actually, his martial arts skills were a bit more present, where later in his career, he just kind of flexes and throws people.
Yeah, right.
You know, where
right.
This one, he was doing something, I was like, he can really do this stuff, that's cool. And the main guy was fairly apt, and he could kick well, he could jump well and stuff. But like you're saying, there was nothing to bring. There was nothing to show up.
There was no gimmick that you go, oh wow, that's a great gimmick
right.
or something.
Drunken
like that.
Monkey or yeah. or those flying like the
flying guillotine.
Yeah,
or some crazy. The only Dennis, it wasn't any gimmick. The only gimmick they had was that one dude that all he did was kill the women, that jerky guy or whatever. Yeah. That's all he did. He, one of the other guys goes, why are you killing all, why do you always kill, have to kill these women?
He's like, meh, whatever, that's my
whatever,
shit.
Whatever, that's my deal, you know, and you're going, oh, okay.
And they did the usual trope. There was one Japanese guy, and he was the biggest doofus in the world, and they made him the ugly, they made him ugly, they made him a klutz and an idiot that got killed easily, and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
You just can't let it go, can you, China?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was just, I didn't hate it as much as you did.
Yeah.
But I didn't find it to be exciting.
I didn't hate it, but it was like, oh,
And the print was watchable for YouTube. It was like clear enough, you know. Yeah. It wasn't like gauze or anything. It's like, okay, well, you know, it's like I can see what's going on or whatever, but it starts off with a fight in the beginning. It takes like 10 minutes. Then you start getting into the story about this brother who's a mother doesn't want him to fight, and he's got another brother.
I was
like,
waiting for that. Because this guy's fighting, and the mother comes petering out and goes, you're just as bad as your brother or father. You're just becoming just as evil. And he's like, let's go to Hong Kong. And I was like, don't do it. Don't you do it, movie. I don't need, I can't fight because Mama-san said not
that
to.
That
was the worst.
That Bruce Lee movie, that one, the Ice House or whatever.
But they didn't bother with it. She came out one time when the brothers were fighting with a lamp and said, don't you fight. Oh, okay, we won't. But that was it. Like, it was, they didn't ruin the movie that way, like saying, the anti-hero can't fight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was like, oh, please don't, not this.
When she started saying it, I was like, don't you do this movie. I will turn you off. You're already on thin ice.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, okay, this storyline or whatever. And he's got a brother who works for the bad gangster
Bolo.
Tiger whatever his name.
Yeah, Bolo Young is Tiger.
And then the gangsters of the town.
Before he even meets his brother, he's been in three fights.
Yeah, I know.
And this isn't even for a reason. He fights a guy when he gets on the boat. He fights a guy when he gets off the boat. He fights a guy when he's walking toward... Bolo fights him for no reason because he heard he was a good fighter. And I'm like, look... Man, like, can we have something? I don't need Citizen Kane, but can we have
a story,
something?
Please? Some kind of gimmick?
No.
Maybe you and your brother, or this woman actually was your sister, or whatever.
That's
some gimmick.
That's crazy. There was nothing. Now, did your friend, when your friend was talking about it, did he seem to think there was a story to this?
He seemed to think it was okay, but he said the same thing. It was an early Kung Fu movie, so it wasn't the most exciting martial arts fighting or anything like that. He didn't hate it or anything.
And I didn't mean that either. Like where it was an okay martial arts movie, but boy, there was just a lot that you're like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah. And then it's like, and then they start doing like, you know, then it starts getting into sexy time at one point. You're going like, oh, really? You know,
I started wondering if that was because this was a German cut.
It was a
German print, and I bet you...
And you know what? The print towards the end changed a little bit. Like, somebody added some fight scenes or added something
and
it
was like 12 seconds worth. It would go to that mustardy-looking color, then go back to...
Yeah, that's it.
I saw it, like, a few times throughout it, and when I saw sexy time, because they showed her breasts and like, kind of simulated sex,
I was
like, boy, the American print don't have this.
Probably guarantee not.
Ours got just cut to... somebody getting beheaded because who cares? Americans love violence and hate sex, you know.
And then the other thing we were talking about, the other thing that I couldn't stand throughout the movie was like the brother was always saying like, oh my God, Tiger and his gang, they're ruining the country. And the brother, the good brother, the hero, was always saying, don't worry, the revolution's coming. They're going to take care of everything. I'm going like, oh, you mean that great communist revolution?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. It's going to be so wonderful. About 20 million of you are going to get killed by, you know, Mao or whatever. But yeah, you know, just...
Not me.
Not you, Mao. The other one.
Don't worry, I would kill 20 million people. I don't have access to that.
You have access to that.
Anyway, you know what I call that? The John Connor syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
Every Terminator film, we're just hearing about how great John Connor's going to be. Boy, when John Connor shows up, it's going to be game over for those machines. When am I ever going to see this great John Connor? Man. It's been 20 movies, and, you know, John Connor hasn't quite showed up to be that great military leader I've heard about for, I don't know, 20 decades.
And they're making another
now.
One. They're saying Linda Hamilton's going to be in it. I go, really?
Yep, she's going to be pining about the loss of John, and now he will never be as awesome as he was supposed to be.
He'll
be like, oh my God, John Connor's showing up one day.
Yeah, so this kind of has that. The one brother's good, and the one brother joins the mob, and then...
Nah. Yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to get the other brother to get into the mob, but he doesn't want to do it.
He's like, no, I'm too good for that. All right, well, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. And we're going to talk more about this because we're not doing a scene by scene. There's no point.
There's no point.
But don't you leave because that would make us sad.
You're not just telling us what we want to hear.
No, sir, no way.
Because we just want to hear the truth.
Well, then I guess I am telling you what you want to hear.
Boy, didn't we just tell you not to do that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then.
Hey!
Run for your life. Mama's coming.
Yeah!
She's Kung Fu Mama. When she gets her dander up, the hitmen go down. Flattened by the deadliest weapons in outraged motherhood, the flying fists of Kung Fu Mama.
You see, all of us have a few tricks. Now, let me show you one of mine, huh?
It's a new motion picture experience in the martial arts with the top stars of Oriental hand-to-hand combat and Kung Fu Mama.
Ha! Ha!
Don't mess with Kung Fu Mama, the meanest mother of them all.
Hey!
Kung Fu Mama, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries.
Is there someone else up there we could talk to?
No. Now go away or I shall taunt you a second time.
All right, we're back.
Now we're back.
Yeah, okay. Now we're back.
We hit the magic button.
Wow. Yes, Kung Fu Mama. I keep promising one day we're going to do that, but
can't find a good print of it. Lady Whirlwind, I think it's called, isn't it?
The print is horrible. The print that we found, I was like, no, this isn't
There's a possibility that print doesn't exist anymore because these companies that would distribute them here, even though I think that was AIP, they either lost the rights and didn't take care of them.
Yeah.
There's a couple of companies out there. There's a company called Code Red that's kind of like this guy sells on a website. And it's almost like a fan-based thing. He only prints up like maybe 2,000 copies.
Oh, that's cool.
But he actually goes out and searches out 35 prints.
Gets the nice rips and everything.
Well, they're not necessarily nice prints. Whatever's available. And he does like a nice Blu-ray, conversion to them. And some of them have wear and tear on them, but that's the only way you're going to see a good print of movie.
I'd love to sign up for that. I wonder how I could.
Code Red Video. It's online.
Does he charge a lot?
Standard, whatever Blu-ray costs.
$14, $20.
Probably more than that, $20.
Bucks,
something like that. Well, we'll go there afterwards.
Yeah, for sure.
His name is Code Red, and he does like maybe 2,000-3,000 copies each.
Hey, Code Red, you want to hook us up with some movies? We'll give you a commercial every week.
Yeah, he's on Facebook too.
I should approach him and say, hey, we do.
Yeah, you should
hook us up with one movie a month, and we'll give you four commercials every month.
We'll kiss you.
Ring of the red code or Code Red. Off air, I had said, boy, I was surprised your friend talked to you about this. Because
you're surprised he knew about this movie.
This is a pretty, not an obscure one, but this doesn't stand out amongst anyone knowing this movie,
No, and I was telling you, back in the old video days, like from the 80s, it didn't end till like the later 90s, but what happened was around the early 92, 93.
Fire sales everywhere, baby.
Because of Blockbuster.
Yeah, Blockbuster and Best Buy. Because Best Buy started moving and started selling stuff and...
Yeah. What was happening was it's like these little mom and pop stores ruled throughout the 80s. By the 90s, Blockbuster started to come into town and put themselves like three or four in your town. And Blockbuster could get 10, 20, 20, 30 copies of the hits.
You want Titanic
would go
this
there.
Week?
Yeah.
We have 100 of them.
And your local mom and pop store didn't have it because they'd go to two or three. So they were going out of business. So everybody started going out. So this one store had a ton of Kung Fu. My friend had been renting them and dubbing them, and I wasn't interested at all. So one day he goes and he saw they were going out of business, so a little light bulb went over his head, and he basically cleaned out all their Kung Fu.
That's awesome.
Like $400 worth of titles, $5 a piece.
Wow, that's so
crazy.
Not
at one shot, but little by little.
And those were all, those are VHS though. Those aren't
VHS, Ocean Shore is very, very collectible, as they say. He has doubles and he sells them on eBay for good
money.
Does
he get money for them?
Oh God, VHS is collectible big time. I've seen VHS sell for like $300, $400. Oh yeah, if it's a clamshell And it's a and it's like a yeah, oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Not here's an even weirder one. I didn't even realize this. Some paperbacks, like some like sketchy, sexy paperbacks or whatever,
yeah,
go for a ton of money on eBay. My friend and I were talking about like some books that he read, and he goes, yeah, he bought this. He actually stole from 7-Eleven this old paperback. It was like a rock and roll sexy paperback where there was like a kind of like a sex paperback, but they had rock and roll people in it. He got it. He stole it from 7-Eleven. He got rid of it years ago. He goes, you know, I want to see if I can find that now. Oh, he found it on eBay for $150 it went for. And I'm like, are you kidding me? For like some dopey, you know, paperback?
When I was watching that documentary about, like, remember that I was talking about the documentary about the comic book stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
And they were talking about those books. I shouldn't even get into this because I can't remember it enough. They were getting into like those noir, kind of like the pulp.
Yeah, the pulp books. Like Mike Hammer and stuff like
and
that.
And I was like, man, I should read a couple of those. Those sound really cool. Because they were graphic. Most of them were graphic novels. Yeah. They had a lot of pictures or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Because they were talking a lot about them and their influence and how they were cool. Yeah, good luck, man. That stuff is.
You know what? Again, during that era of the 90s down south,
yeah,
they had a store called, they had a bunch of stores, but they had one called Hiddles. I remember going there, and he used to have some of those, like, what was the character? I can't think of the name, but I used to buy them for the covers because I liked the artist.
That's why.
They were like a buck a piece.
The art was beautiful.
You can get them for a buck a piece. Robert McGinnis was the artist. Not Mike Hammer. I forget what the other guy's name was, but I remember going in there and buying, like, sometime over 50 cents, like 5, 6, or 7 of them, just because the covers were fantastic.
Gorgeous,
you know? Now they want a ton of money for them.
Yeah, that's
those
that posters, man. You make posters out of that stuff.
Now they reprint. They also reprint them too.
That's the thing. I was going to just get a couple of repros. I don't give a crap about.
Yeah. You can find the reprints anywhere. You can find them at Borders.
I can get them, then I can steal them, then I can put them on a shirt, and then I can sell the shirt.
Basically.
Anyway, now onto the movie.
Yeah, basically.
You can tell we're not talking about this movie very much because there's not a whole heck of a lot to talk about. I mean, honestly,
is
like
this, it's like fight.
The
you know?
fight. Tiger, which is Bolo Young, Cheech Marin, tries to get him on board. He says no.
They fight,
and he wins, and then
they kidnap his mother.
They send the girl to try and seduce him. He says no.
Yeah.
Then
they kidnap the girl.
They kidnap the mother, which is also his brother's working for Tiger. So it's this weird thing.
So it's this weird. Yeah.
And then they kill some other girl, this wife of a friend, and they go to save the mom. They do.
And then she dies.
Because they got stabbed in the side or something like that. Then he goes on a kill crazy rampage, but then he leaves after he does half the compound.
Yeah, and then he goes.
And he goes, I see ya. And I'm like, look, finish the job. There's like 9 more people. Nope. So he leaves, and then the brother comes up. He's like, hey, you should join us. Now you've disgraced me. I'm going to fight you. And they have this long fight, and he beats him up, or our hero beats up the brother, who's a little doughier.
Yeah.
And he leaves, and then Tiger comes up, and he's like, oh. Because then on the way out, his brother's like, he throws him a bracelet and says, yeah, you know, you're supporting this guy that killed our mom. And the brother didn't know that at that point. He's like, he starts crying, and then Tiger comes up, and then they just start beating him up, you know. And
they kill the brother, right?
They kill him. The brother isn't dead yet, because then our friend Corrado goes all, he jumps off this huge mountain, and he goes, ah, and he starts fighting them, and he's beating them one at a time. I thought the brother was going to kill the guy he was fighting, then get killed.
Yeah, but he did.
Because they didn't even give him that. Like, the brother should have been able to, like, take out his adversary.
Something.
Then die. Because it would have been, like, less than pudding, you know. This guy was vanilla pudding all day long. And he's like, who cares, you know. But then he didn't even do that. And they killed him off. And then, you know, of course, you know, Corrado kills off everyone except for Bolo.
Bolo. And they have a fight in the boat. That was pretty good.
One of the funniest parts was Bolo Young, throughout his career, I would actually love to write a book about Bolo and, like, interview him and stuff. That would probably be insane. He's always played a villain. He's always played, like, a bad, like a snake. Like, because he's sitting there watching this guy tear through his henchmen, even his upper-level henchmen. So he just pushes the guy off and goes to the boat. And leaves. Like he leaves his henchman there and everything. He's like, ah, see ya. Like, he's always such a scumbag, you know. And I'm sure he's not in real life. I'm sure he's a he's fine,
no, he's
you know, because he wouldn't get work over and over again if he
yeah,
was a jerk,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But it was just one of those things where you're like, he just leaves, and then of course Corrado goes and he runs over and he jumps onto the boat, and then that's where we're 40 minutes into this fight,
yeah,
and now there's this boat fight.
Which wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad. There was a lot of, like, punching, kicking, and, oh, one of the things I did want to say. This guy is hitting people on the legs and on the heads, even his brother, with his nunchucks. Now, I'll tell
you
what.
That would break something.
I've used nunchucks a long time. I'm very good with them. That's one of my... I'm very good with them. I'll just say that. Yeah. You get hit with those things, you ain't getting up anytime soon. And if you do, you're going to limp to the damn emergency room because they... You're getting hit with a 100-mile-an-hour piece of wood.
Yeah.
They go fast, and they hurt a lot.
Yeah.
I've hit myself by accident enough that I've knocked myself out, and you're like,
yeah.
Wow. So he whipped his brother across the leg, and then his brother hops up and starts fighting. I was like, no. I call BS movie. That dude is not getting up, and if he does, his leg's in two pieces, because I'm not saying nunchucks are the greatest weapons in the world. It's a stick flying really fast, you know. But anyway, I digress. So he takes his nunchucks, and at one point, Bolo picks up an anchor, and he's fighting with his anchor. And I was like, well, this guy, he has to fall on the anchor, cause like, and that's what I thought the ending was going to be. Because I assumed Corrado wouldn't be able to beat him because he's Bolo, but I assumed at some point he would kick him, and then Bolo would fall on the anchor and the end. Not even that.
No.
No. What was the
end
of this?
That last fight goes like forever.
Forever.
He finally, like, I forgot how he beat him, but he finally beats him and throws him off the ship.
He wasn't even dead yet.
No.
He fell into the water and just was like, oh, okay.
And then it was like, goodbye, the end.
Bye. It stopped like mid-sentence. I think it was just like, the end. You know, it was the typical YouTube cutoff credits, you know.
Yeah, it was probably the print itself.
I would love to see some of your friends' stuff. I want to see a... I would love to see a kung fu movie that has credits. I don't know. I never will in my lifetime. I'll be dead long before that ever happens. But this movie was, wow, was it pointless. I mean, it was, some parts were fun, and some parts, the fighting was there. There was a lot of fighting. And in this case, it's one of those too much fighting.
It's an early one.
Yeah, it's an early
it's
one.
It's an early one.
The choreography wasn't terrible. I mean,
it was
the standard whole bunch of extras keep regenerating and just the same extras over and over and over again, you know.
It wasn't like a Bruce Lee. It wasn't Bruceploitation or anything like
that.
No. It was pre-Bruce, but it was pre him dying.
Yeah,
it was
You can't rip the guy off when he's still alive. He'll come and beat you up.
Yeah, right.
No,
yeah,
but you know, and Bolo was in it, so I was like, all right, you know. And then, it's just...
It's okay.
It was just like
if you like fighting movies, you'll love it.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't, you'll feel a little disappointed.
Just okay, you know.
These movies need a gimmick. They need something to go like, oh yeah, there's like this cool thing that's gonna happen, or this cool character.
The five finger palm of death.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I mean, Bolo was pretty entertaining whenever he showed up.
Oh, he was hilarious. He was so...
But you couldn't tell he was Bolo. You know, you couldn't really tell. He didn't look like Bolo. He didn't have the same, but he was funny.
I wish he would have drove up in like a lowrider every scene. He just pulled up in a lowrider.
Or wore like a wool cap or something.
Hey, me!
Hey, vato!
I'm going to beat you up now, me! That would have been, at that 10 stars. I would have given it a 10 right there.
No, no.
But no, they didn't have any of that.
Corrado. Yeah.
Oh, this was one of the few that had a gun.
That's right. That one guy got shot. You're right.
And that's the other thing. This dude has a gun. One of the henchmen has a gun. Our hero gets shot in the shoulder and
and
he has this bandage on. He's like, okay, well, now I'm going to go fight. And you're like, look, again, I hate to point out flaws. If you got a chunk of lead that's in about 3 inches from your heart, you're going to the morgue is where you're going to go. Because without real actual attendance, you know, what else did they do? I don't know, the bullet, little impact from a bullet. And my final note was please end.